The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's quite the right time to thank Matthias Sangala with the twilight. Yeah, Early Morning Scoop is a platform that we discuss what is happening, particularly in the continent of Africa, and what is happening in Namibia in terms of economic development, in terms of issues of human development, and also everything that affect our bread and butter. And we are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself in Namibia, wherever you are finding yourself outside the country, as long as you have connection, as long as you have connection to your number one favorite radio station, Eagle FM, as long as you are listening to your number one favorite talk radio station. We are greeting you, and it's December, and it has been stated that although it's December, we must make sure that every day that we are waking up, we must be thankful, and we must also be conscious about, festive season, particularly in terms of security. Make sure that you tighten your security, because there are those who do not, or those who harvest where they did not grow, or where they did not sow. Just make sure that you tighten your security. And also make sure that you are careful, particularly in terms of those who are driving, because it's festive season. Nobody want to lose his or her loved one during the festive season, but let us be careful and also consider others, especially when we are driving. So yeah, in terms of what we have on the table, because today we will be speaking about economic diplomacy. Today we are going to speak about something which is very closer to my heart. We are going to analyze what have happened, what are some of the achievements throughout 2025, what are some of the challenges, and what are some of the things that we are still continue struggling with, particularly when it comes to that economic diplomacy, particularly diplomacy at the state level, diplomacy that is build on investment, trade, and also allowing businesses to thrive. Before we go there, it's quite important. It's quite important to look at global affairs, because when you look at West African countries, particularly former French colonies and their coup. Just ask yourself to say, what really happened? What was the foundation of that colonialism? But before we go to Benin, a failed coup which happened yesterday, let us look at import and export rate between China and Africa. And there is an update on China export to Africa in 2025, to say China export to African countries could top $200 billion in 2025, as Beijing is still locked in trade war with the United States of America. Stated that China is intensifying the trade with Africa, and the trade statistics are indicating that by the end of this year, the export of goods and items, commodities, to Africa would top the worth of $200 billion. Now the question that you need to ask yourself is that what is exactly that China is selling to us Africans topping $200 billion in 2025? What is that we are being sold by our trade partner, who is China? Are we sold things that such as high level of technology that we could not make, or we are sold everything, even tables and chairs, that we would also be able to make. And toothpicks too, they are part of this stock. If you minus things that we can also be able to do ourselves, you may be able to understand that there is much that we can do, must be able to understand that there is much that we can do, particularly in terms of trading, and also check what is that that we need to trade. Now, it's also very interesting. It's also very interesting to look at you know, what Africa is sending to China. That is what Africa is exporting to China. It was stated that in the same period, Africa sent 87 billion in export to China, a growth of 2.3%. The imbalance pushed Africa trade deficit with China to nearly $60 billion. That is money you are losing in terms of import and export, that is at the continental level, to be able to realize that the prediction is that Africa is buying commodities or products worth of 200 billion in 2025, while we are selling 87 billion US dollars of worth of products to China. And remember, that is including uranium from Namibia, because over 80% of uranium that we are selling in Namibia is going straight to China. And also to look at, we're selling at an international standard price. How come it's us who are making a loss? And what is exactly that we are buying? And which part are we planning to, which part are we planning to improve? But yeah, that is it. But it's quite very important to look at this news and also see, before we come and check, what is happening in Benin, what is really happening in Benin, and what kind of, you know, and, is this a trend now in Africa? Because the other time we spoke about African security, African security as a barrier to continental integration, because those who have enough bullets and AK-47 are the one who want to lead. And you also ask yourself to say, in terms of respect of civilian government, when are things going to work out? When are things going to work out, and how are things going to be done, particularly moving forward? So let us look at this news of China and the trade of 2025 before we go to the news of Benin.
Chinese exports to African countries could top $200 billion in 2025 as Beijing remains locked in a trade war with the United States. Chinese customs data shows that $122 billion worth of goods were exported to Africa in the first 8 months of 2025, with projections that the figure could reach $200 billion by the end of the year. In the same period, Africa sent $87 billion in exports to China, a growth of 2.3%. The imbalance pushed Africa's trade deficit with China to nearly $60 billion. Machinery and heavy equipment, automobiles and metal products dominate Africa's imports from China. In 2024, bilateral trade reached $295 billion, setting a new record. In a bid to boost African exports, China has this year waived tariffs for 53 countries with which it has diplomatic ties.
Yeah, that is what is happening, particularly in terms of trade balance between China and also Africa. And also to realize, to say, if there is a deficit of $60 billion, what can we do to improve? Because remember, Africa is like my supervisor Francois is saying, Africa is just like a kid with a ball, a kid with a sweet. Everybody want to come and eat. And we really do not have much power. But when are we going to have power? Is the power of Africa based on working together? Is the power of Africa based on unity and sharing of resources, How are we going to get that power? Because we can say we are moving to the west, we are moving to the east, but at the end of the day, the game of cards is still the same. The game of trade is still the same. Although we are benefiting, we are still losing money. Even if we do not have money, although we are saying, we need more money. But yeah, let us look at Benin. Looking at Benin, one will be able to ask to say, what really happened with former French colonies? What really happened with former French colonies? Because when you look at coup, what is known as coup d'état, the overthrowing of government or civilian government by military, you'll be able to realize that just yesterday morning, what almost have happened is that there have been a group of soldiers who attempt to take over the civilian government of Benin, but they did not manage. They did not manage. It's a failed coup. And it was stated that the gunfire have been heard near the presidential palace in Benin. And that is what has been happening. And looking at the Minister of Interior, you can say Minister of Home Affairs, that side of Benin, said the coup attempt have happened, but did not succeed. And that is what is happening. And the question is also that what you need to realize is that looking at the records, particularly what have happened in the past 5 years, you'll be able to realize that this has been a trend in Africa. There are failed coup and there are also successful coup. Then the question is that, are we turning to military now? Or when you are turning to military governments, how are we going to reach the Agenda 2063? Because Africa has never seen what it's seeing now, especially when you look at taking over of military government. And last week we were just speaking about Guinea-Bissau. Guinea-Bissau, where you see that the military junta has even established what is called the Transitional Council to oversee government governing bodies and also suspend all the state institution. You realize to say, what kind of motivation is this, particularly in the Western Africa? And it's indicated that when you look at ECOWAS, ECOWAS is losing a lot of members now, because even those who were saying others must put themselves in order, they are also finding themselves in a very difficult situation. But looking at Benin, also remember, if there is a failed coup, you already know that those who were responsible for organizing that is high treason. That is it's a case of high treason. And in most cases, penalties there is death or life imprisonment without parole. But in most cases, that is death if you want to overthrow the government. That is it's self-assassination, because you will not, if you are caught doing that, even the fact of you talking about it or trying to speak about it, you are already part of that. And it's a pity, especially to those wrong unit soldiers who try to overthrow the government of Benin, because Africa must also make sure that in terms of civilian government is the only government that you can be able to speak as you are speaking now. And you can also be able to give advice, because with the military government, your advice, they are good for not really anything, because it's a man with a gun who is leading. And in most cases, you find it very difficult to interact, because no one would want to form relationship with you. Because that is an old way of ruling, because it was supposed to be democracy. But one Namibian diplomat, yesterday wrote something very long on social media and said, no, look, what motivated this coup? why Africa, there is a threat in Africa in terms of coup. Is there something that governments are not doing, particularly making the states vulnerable to such incidents? Are we real with service delivery? Are we real with our promises and all those statements? It's not me. One diplomat from Namibia has stated questioning to say, what is really happening in Africa? Do we need an assessment of institutions? Because in most cases, vulnerable people, they become part of those what is thought to be a short success. But when you look at that, it's also very difficult to understand that in most cases, when, even if you have a military government, you still find it very difficult for you to develop, because at the end of the day, you just change a person, but not really that system, because the economic system, as it has been stated by a lot of callers, is that it's interconnected, and if you want to change it, you must be able to understand it, but not through military. Let us listen to the Minister of Interior from Benin, because they indicated that, they have fought back, or they put down that failed coup. But let us look at this.
And in Benin on Sunday, a military coup declared in Benin on Sunday has failed, the country's interior minister said, just hours after soldiers took over state television to announce the dissolution of government. In the early morning of Sunday, December 7th, 2025, a small group of soldiers launched a mutiny with the aim of destabilizing the state and its institutions. Faced with the situation, the Beninese armed forces and their leadership, true to their oath, remained committed to the Republic. Their response allowed them to maintain control of the situation and thwart the attempt. There's been no official news about President Patrice Talon since gunshots were heard around the presidential residence. However, the signal to the state television and radio has been restored after being cut off. West Africa has recently seen a string of military coups, and the regional ECOWAS bloc was quick to condemn the attempt in a statement. Benin has also witnessed multiple coups since its independence from France in 1960. In January, two associates of Talon were sentenced to 20 years in prison for an alleged coup plot last year.
Yeah, that is what is happening. That is what's happening, especially when you look at that side of that side of Benin. You look at that side of Benin, because it's quite unfortunate, especially at this point in time, where you see when somebody do not agree with another person's leadership, they take guns, and it's a pity, especially those who tried. And Africa must make sure that then is coming to African Union. We don't just condemn, but we must take strong actions to strengthen state institution, and also to make sure that the military is out of, is independent, and is there to protect the state, not really to be used for political ambitions. Because if you mix military with politics, it's becoming very difficult, because it was supposed to be state military, which is there to protect the country, not only to be used for political reasons. That's why in free democracy, military don't intervene with civilian rule. They are there to protect, and they are needed in terms of emergency and also territorial integrity. But when you look at those who take opportunities, like what happened in Madagascar, you know, just Generation Z protested. Then the military colonel decided to make sure that they seize that opportunity. But the question is, how is this going to help us moving forward as a continent, and how is it going to help us with our trade? how are you going to trade with, a state which suspend all its governing institutions and has a military council? And in most cases, you'll be able to realize that its power is also sweet, because one of the political scholars, he would indicate that you cannot see or touch power, but once you taste it, you cannot even smell it, but once you taste it, you will not release it. Once you have it, you will not release it. But that is why you see most of these who become president through the barrel of the gun, they also end up wanting to rule. Now you do not know what is the motivation. Why do you want to rule? If you stay, you want to put the country in order. And those are the things. Yeah. Before we go to the conversation for today, let us look at Rwanda and the United States of America. Let us look at Rwanda and the United States of America, because it is indicated that why President of Rwanda and DRC, President of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, and also the President of DRC, Felix Tshisekedi, are in the USA, forming peace deal. It's ongoing conflict, especially between DRC M23 rebels, and also, government forces at that side of South Kivu. And you are just asking yourself to say, when is this war going to end? When is this war going to end? And when you look at the international media, international news, you'll be able to see women and children, because my concern is also women and children, because men, we can take care of ourselves, although there are also those who need assistance. Women and children, you see them, he's having a child on the back, and also a little goat here, and some chicken, and they are running, because you also need to make sure that you eat, because the situation is very difficult. That's why when somebody say we must maintain and respect the peace that you have, once you don't have that peace, it's difficult for you to bring it back to normal, because there are those who benefit from chaos too. But while they are there, getting that, there's ongoing conflict in south of Kivu, and that is Democratic Republic of Congo. But it's also quite important to look at this news, because when Paul Kagame go to the United States of America, it's not only about peace deal with the DRC, but it's also indicated that there are also some of, agreement which was signed there between the U.S. and also Rwanda, because it's stated that Rwanda and the United States have signed $228 million agreement to strengthen Rwanda's health sector while promoting long-term financial self-reliance. Now, a question that you're asking yourself is to say, is the U.S. pro-African development or anti-African development? Because it's like when you look at the end of Angola, it's only the agreement which has ended, but by other way, U.S. is also assisting various countries. Or is it now an opportunity to choose who to assist and who not to assist? Because not only Rwanda, there are also some other countries that receive assistance, especially when it comes to health sector, and also when it's coming to promoting of health sector, because this is $228 million to Rwanda from the United States of America. It looks like President Donald Trump did not give up yet, or he is trying to come back with a different strategy, particularly when it comes to Africa. But it's also quite important to analyze and look beyond the obvious to say why Rwanda, why not DRC, why Rwanda, why not DRC. But yeah, that is the case. That is the case. Let us look at this news of aid deal on health sector in Rwanda. Then we move forward.
The United States and Rwanda have signed a $228 million agreement aimed at strengthening Rwanda's health sector while promoting long-term financial self-reliance. The deal was announced on Friday, hours after Rwandan leader Paul Kagame and the DRC's Felix Tshisekedi reaffirmed their commitment to a US-brokered peace plan. Under the new health agreement, the US will allocate $158 million to help Rwanda combat infectious diseases, including HIV and malaria. Kigali will increase its domestic health investment by $70 million as evidence of its commitment, according to the US State Department. Earlier this week, Kenya became the first nation to strike a deal under the America First Global Health Strategy. This new U.S. approach to overseas aid aims to improve countries' self-reliance in managing their health sectors.
Yeah, that is what's happening, especially Rwanda and the U.S. Signing a peace deal. And remember, Rwanda and also Kenya, they are good friends of the U.S. and they are building that relationship very well. And when it comes to, and it's coming to the health sector, it's like Rwanda have signed that agreement. And you're always asking yourself to say, is Rwanda not advanced compared to DRC? Why Trump only give Kagame, not Tshisekedi? And this was stated while the leader also there. But it's a question of another day. It's a question of another day to say, why do we have also to depend much on external assistance? Because if you are saying, why you are not giving me? It's like you are saying you are the only one who can be able to assist me, where there are also other options, even internal option. But that is exactly what's happening. So let us look at the short commercial break. Then we can look at today's conversation, especially when you look at economic diplomacy. But while we are there, you know, the ongoing Madlanga Commission, you know, it's becoming very interesting. But there are also records of, you know, one of the witness was shot down. And you just do not know how South Africa is going to turn out. But when it comes to those who are given responsibility to question, especially in Madlanga Commission, you realize that these are the experienced advocates, former judges, and that's why you have to give the answer one way or the other. Because if you look at Madlanga himself, and you look at Selo and the assistant advocates, when it's coming to questions regarding South African infiltration of judicial and police, be able to realize that there are those who are experienced. There are those who are experienced. No matter how smart you think you are, there are those who are experienced. And when your time comes, you will be able to give the answer. And you are not going to be forced. You will just be led to the answer by those who are experienced, those who spend more than 40 years at the bench. And it's quite interesting to see. And it's also the wish to say, maybe Namibia, at one point we have jurist or justice persons of this caliber who are more experienced, more independent, and also to see the service of justice at that regard. And all eyes are on Dr. Mkwananzi. Well, there are two Mkwananzi. There is Julius Mkwananzi and also Tranta Mkwananzi. But looking at that, Dr. Julius, it was not, he was not there sharp. But we see how the conclusion of the commission is going to be. And also to see how strengthening of the institution, particularly when it's coming to South Africa, is going to be. And this will be part of our discussion. Because when you speak about economic diplomacy, you don't only speak about state ability to attract investment or state ability to enter into trade agreements with other countries or with business individuals, but you also be able to look at the threats and challenges that impact trade, particularly those with our trading partners. But for now, let us look at this short commercial break. Then we can look at the conversation for today.
Goeie nuus, Skimberg nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. As jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Skimberg te geniet, kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Kimba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Kimba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo duto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Igel FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoiri nawa ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Igel FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Igel FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo duto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoiri nawa ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And today we are looking at Namibia economic diplomacy to say, in terms of economic diplomacy, what is that that the country has achieved in 2025? And what are some of the key events that we need to look at? And we can say these key events are the success, and these key events are also, becoming a challenge. But before that, let us look at the views and opinions of callers, because we respect constructive engagement, particularly on the news which were stated. Good morning.
Yes, Chombe.
Yes, how are you?
How
are you now? What are you doing now? Yeah.
I know on the coup, is it, what country is Gabon?
It's Benin.
Benin. No, we always said, look, until we understand what leadership must provide, to say, it's not about like whether you come through coup, whether you come through election,
yeah,
or whatever, as long as there's no bloodshed there, as long as also you can deliver. That is the bottom line.
But is this not setting a bad presidency? Even if somebody, that, if I disagree with you and I'm in the military, is that not setting a bad presidency?
Ah, no, that is the problem with the coup. If you are in a country and you allow a coup to take place, that's the bad presidency, that anybody disagree with you, you might just go use his force and like that. And remember, the way if you come through coup, you are also going to be thrown out.
Yeah.
That is a bad precedent. But the issue is to say, as long as there, sometimes there's no bloodshed. You know, you see even the coup that take place, for instance, in Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
There was no bloodshed there. But we wanted to say now, is he going to deliver? That is, people just want a service.
No, that one I understand. Now what can we do now to make sure that this thing should not become a trend in Africa? Because 5 years, this one would be the 11th one, but did not succeed in 5 years, which means that in every year the average you have two. But there are also those which did not succeed, like what was happening in Madagascar, what was happening in Tanzania, people, even in Cameroon. But one question that we need to ask is that, what can we do? Because we understand this development, people, there is lack of resources, but what can governments do to make sure that this thing should not continue? Especially there at the leadership, military must be on its own and must do its work and can only intervene when the situation is chaotic or when you have external threats, but not against that of who, you know,
when I tell you when the Chinese said, look, it's not the color of it, it's whether the kid is able to get the fish. It's not about the leadership. As long as the leadership can deliver.
But the cat must also be healthy, not a wild cat.
Now look, my friend,
you
don't jump to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Is whether the cat is going to catch mouse.
Mm.
You cannot say, whether the cat is healthy. Whether it's healthy or not, though, as long as it's catching mouse.
But it's also bringing problems again.
But we are saying,
yeah,
in Namibia, where we have democracy and election,
yeah,
you see the response when people does not want to go vote.
Yeah.
But what if they continue doing the same? They are still going to get tired also. And to say, look, election cannot work. Don't you see that there is a silent voice among those who are not voting, especially the 60% of the voting population in Namibia who does not want to vote?
Interpreted voice.
Yeah, but we are always happy to say, no, we have a democratic election. It's okay. But there is a voice which tell you, Kucha, no, we don't want to vote because there's no difference. Next. There's no difference. So, can't you see, Kucha, there is something in that we need to investigate properly.
No, I hear you.
Why these people are not going to vote? What if one day they say, look, they take that road of coup? You just need to understand this, because this coup in Africa is the same as that time during colonialism, when every country were starting to fight for their liberation. It was just like a weather of change, because everybody was saying, look, fighting colonialism in the liberation struggle was the only way. You understand?
Yeah, because
cannot do it.
You are speaking the same sentiment, because I was reading one poster, like following international affairs specialists. You know, our ambassador to Germany wrote something very interesting on his social media, Jerobi Amshanika, who stated that if we continue situation like this, let me just read some of the things that, it lies in understanding the deeper social fracture, poverty, injustice, corruption, exclusion that create fragile ground for coup in the first place. That is just some of the ways to say if we are not addressing these issues, this will continue to be a trend. But you can be able to read the whole poster there. But this is it's a PhD holder, is somebody who have been in diplomacy for all his life and specialized in security studies and all these things. But when he is coming out and speaking something like this, he is seeing something to say there's a threat in Africa. And this thing should be addressed, particularly when we are not addressing those issues. And I think we are agreeing on a few points on that.
There is always there is always a point where people said enough is enough. But and that is point where it comes. It might not, that's why I said a country like Namibia, just realize when you see the people like the Swartboyden, you know, when he is starting, you know, it's not like you think it's a joke, because those international politics and economy, that's what they want in the country, so that they start also pushing for separation, for independence. That's what happened in Sudan. You also still have the issue of the
But did that solve the problem? Because I don't see any difference in Sudan.
Whether it's solving a problem or not. You are going to sit with the chaos. You are going to sit with the chaos. You still have even the analysis of the issue of the Capri. What? Separation of.
Yeah, but that one is that not solved already? Are we not on one page? Okay.
You just jail people, but the idea is still in the mind of the people.
So
but you don't want to learn to say, look, the country, you know, if you still see China still fighting Taiwan, that's part. But if one could have argue to say, look, Taiwan is just an independent because it's an island, it's not, you know. They want it back to say it must be part of that. But you see people who are even fighting something which is already agreed, né? To say, look, Namibia, this is a boundary. And you, as a country, you are still entertaining those people. That's the idea. To say it's a democracy. That is not democracy. That is treason.
It's treason.
You cannot entertain me, sort of idea in other separatists to say it's a democracy. That is not democracy. That's a treason.
Yeah, and I think it also says a lot about who we are as a country. That's why I think with peace we are fine, and also interpretation of issues. Do you think you can do that in Uganda or in Rwanda? You cannot say that. You cannot say that even in any other country. But yeah, it's.
I have seen Bobby Wine. He was just exercising a democratic right.
Yeah.
But those guys, the police officers, come and beat him and beat his supporter and others.
No.
And that is what that's what I told you the other day. So, look, Africans are not democratic. They are just democracy when they are winning. Because for them, they don't want competition. Because democracy can sometimes is a competition. That's why I said, if we are to fail politics, we cannot resort to the issue of separatism.
Then we are going backward again.
Then we are going backward again. Because when you see international political economy, that's why you see Africa will be divided in those up to 52 countries.
Okay.
They don't want a unified Africa to have the same, to have strength. You have to be divided into small. Even Namibia is too big, but they don't want the population to grow.
But do we have specialists in peace and security, a lot of specialists in peace and security in Namibia? or even a direct field of studies, because other countries all over the world, they have it, because sometimes even to deal with peace within the country, because you can't live with a frustrated society. And I don't think we are putting more effort on that. I know there is a center on of women and peace, but not really.
You know what? Mm. You think we have even, let's talk about all the specializations, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Do we even have a virologist in this country?
What?
A virologist in this country.
I'm also not, what is that? I also don't know.
The specialist, even in agriculture. I tell you, look, there are people studying we don't have in this country. But we want to say, apparently, we are going to grow. Grow where?
Mm-hmm.
Grow where?
Even zoologists are rare. Maybe we'll just have three or two. I don't know.
That's why I said that. At the COVID, we cannot even test our own thing here because we didn't have technology. We have to take it to South Africa. Unless it's after. Maybe we start complaining and then we say, look, but we are compromising the sovereignty of the state here.
So what we
don't know here, there are Namibia is always suffering from two things. The way
understanding.
It's just understanding.
you say that
because of the understanding, because of the lack of understanding.
Yeah,
we never understand that it's all about sovereignty and territorial integrity.
Yeah,
that's one thing. We are every person, whether you are president, whether you are elderly citizen, you are only working at the pressure. You exist at the pressure of the state.
Okay.
Sovereignty.
Yeah.
You see.
Okay.
As you know, we don't have it now. We don't have now a threshold, a sovereign threshold, to say Chinese. When you see them, they said there are things that they cannot negotiate because they are part of the sovereignty threshold.
Hmm.
Just a simple.
There are zones you cannot enter.
They say there are things that they cannot negotiate. That's why in their negotiation they tell you, principal, they said. They don't negotiate anything that they have to compromise, had potential to compromise their sovereignty.
They don't go there.
Look, that's a simple statement from Japanese to say on Taiwan.
Yeah.
Look at what the Chinese, the whole global media and everything, every Chinese leader is just attacking to say, look, Japan, you must sit down, it's not. Yeah. John Cena one day he said, you know, he was saying Taiwan is not part of John Cena. What happened? He at the time, because he wanted to go to China, he had to apologize, otherwise you are not going. If you are going there, those guys are going to arrest you.
Okay.
You cannot be here and saying, you know, Taiwan is part of China and you want to think
I'll check my recording and rephrase them when I want to travel to China.
That's why now.
Yeah.
You are in Namibia.
Yeah.
But you still have people like Swartboy will say, look, who are pushing those things? He was supposed to be arrested by this time. That's what I'm telling you. And that's why I said, but what type of democracy? That's what I said.
But
the other problem that we have.
But I was listening to that statement. Did he say it directly or is just part of an argument when somebody is frustrated? He did not really explain it, or there is other video. Yeah.
Whether you are happy, whether you are happy or not.
Yeah.
There are things that you cannot say in the
public.
That or something that compromise the sovereign. You cannot say. Because you are pushing things that are compromising the unity and the cohesion of the society.
Let's end here before I go to economic diplomacy, because I want to speak about what we have achieved, or you can state two or three points, then we can get to the content of the conversation, especially what you are discussing.
Because the other thing that I really wanted to
just 2 minutes, ne?
Yeah. Mm. The only thing that I also wanted to add is to say, look, we need to understand that the franchise system that we are using.
Mm.
And for us to win, we need that economic diplomacy. Not just diplomacy. Don't say economic, just diplomacy.
But diplomacy is different areas.
It's okay. Mm. Diplomacy is just one.
Yeah.
Whether you put it, you know, a yellow color, black color, yeah. Red, it's just diplomacy.
Yeah.
And you need diplomacy. That's why you said country like Japan, country like Chinese, even hear Trump said, we assist them to build their worship, their technology.
Mm.
It's because they were also using the franchise system of the Americans.
Mm.
Because the imagination company of the Chinese to Americans went there to build factory, to build technology and everything. What did the Chinese do? They never only use the system. They learn from the system and they build their own system through what they call reverse engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Today they are big. Now, that's what I said.
Reverse.
You cannot say, yeah. You cannot say all the system of governance because if you cannot add your own features, you cannot build your own system.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a financial system or the banking system, others have they develop their own. They use it and they develop their own.
Mm-hmm.
Even the financial bank system like SWIFT, also the Chinese build their own, the Russian build their own. That's what I said. That is diplomacy. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But if you are just using to say, you are in a franchise system, it's not the wrong thing because without franchise system, you are not going to learn anything. Because if people cannot give their system to use, for you to use, how are you going to go along at the same time with the world?
Mm-hmm.
That is when you are using the system, but you are not learning from it for you to develop your own thing. Let me tell you, I always say this example.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying this because I want to attack maybe the ladies and also maybe also.
You must clear a statement before you make your real statement.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just want to tell you something.
Yeah.
Look, there is, and that's why you think these people are clever. To say, you have a ballet that you are paying even 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, this lady was short. You understand? It's just short.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to pay. You are only, she is only sometimes going to pay 200 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this lady is still coming to work. Who thinks is winning? But by the time you are going to realize, mm-hmm. the same person is also a kaba.
Hmm.
That is the promise.
You learn.
That you must learn.
Okay.
To
okay.
Ayo kakatana kamwe kakananu wa gari kafuko mambungu.
Yeah. but I hear you. So let's end here
this
then.
Type of knowledge.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Mm.
This type of knowledge that we have.
Mm.
Then we ought to eat at wrong star.
Mm.
In the international political and economy.
Mm.
Against the foreign and foreign direct investment in the country. Then we are going to win.
We are going to win.
We are going to win. We are going to learn. Let's learn from the system. Because if we are not learning from the system, if we know that, look, okay, you go to those developed countries, what type of the specialization in the world? Just imagine, Kunanengo University in UK there. Mm. They might not give him a diamond. There's no diamond, there's no uranium, what. But if you go in their university,
mm-hmm.
there are statutes that deal with it.
But in to Africa, to come and work away.
extract uranium and everything in Africa. Maramona, maybe Angoyam, there's no university even of mining.
No, there's nothing.
Then you start at, there's not even a university of marine. You understand?
But we have those resources. No, you are making a very good point to say. Even in terms of mining, NIMT is not really for mining, it's to produce artisan, but we don't have, we have, other universities, but we don't have really specialists. Marine, we have education courses, but not there.
Education is based on the natural resources that you have.
But
you're supposed to have a university of mining.
Yeah.
When you say Department of Uranium, Department of Copper, Department of Gold, like that, Department of Oil, Department of Diamond. Then you have a marine university, then you put all the specialization. So how good you are.
Mm. But it's true. It's true. What you're saying, you're making real sense to say.
But our problem is too now. Our diplomacy, we are very weak.
Okay, let's end here for now and you can come back.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And, like I indicated today, we are going to speak about economic diplomacy. And, from that perspective, we are going to say what is really, diplomacy from, a bigger picture. Say diplomacy is an art of conducting international relations, whether it's relationship between countries and other countries, or it's a relationship between a state and an international organization. And in most cases, we see diplomacy conducted by high-level government officials, and also we realize to say, in terms of the study of diplomacy, post-1990, diplomacy have started to be, or international relation on its own has started to be where even business people are engaging into, where you see a state get into an agreement with an institution or a business institution. But let us look at what have happened in Namibia 2025, particularly at the beginning of the year, because we have to assess what really happened. One of the things that what happened, and it has not been a case in many occasions, is Namibia revisit its relation with Nigeria, and also making sure that it strengthens its area of cooperation. That, in my observation, was more than in Namibia and Nigeria joint permanent commission of cooperations, because in that conversation, whether it's chairing from senior officials or minister to ministers, one will be able to realize that the area of oil, the area of academic cooperations, and also the areas of trade was discussed, to say, although Namibia and Nigeria has for quite some time being in good relations, their volume of trade was low. That's why that event of February is remarkable in our diplomacy, because it's also led to the first shipment of Namibia trading in under Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement. But for now, let us look at the commercial break, then we can back.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, that is what we are indicating to say. The first joint permanent commission of Namibia and Nigeria was seen to expand trade relations and also other forms such as academia, learning in terms of cooperating in terms of areas of study in the area of oil and gas. Because when you look at oil and gas, Nigeria have experience in oil and gas, and you can be able also to realize that after that, just in June, for the first time, Namibia has sent 45 tons. For the first time, Namibia has sent 45 tons of salt to Nigeria under the Africa, continental free trade area. And that is not only an achievement, it's a first step toward economic integration and Namibia readiness to engage into continental economic integration. Now, apart from that, one will also be able to realize that one of the event that is remarkable is Namibia also participating in Africa China Cooperation Summit. Namibia participating in Africa China Cooperation Summit, where you'll be able also to realize that not only from political point of view, but to intensify the trade between Namibia, China, and many other countries. But the other event which has happened, because we look at the event and we can also look at the results, it was rare, particularly in July there. It's a rare occasion in Namibian history to see high level from the advanced countries, the Prime Minister of India coming to Namibia and signed the following agreement. One is Global Biofuel Framework Agreement, MOU on setting up of Entrepreneurship Development Center, and a Memorandum of Understanding on cooperation in the field of health and medicine. And you can go back and read what have happened, because we can get more, especially when we are diversifying our health system and also in terms of what we need. Now, the success of Namibia economic diplomacy has also been seen in 2025, particularly when Namibia partook in the TICAD, when Namibia partook in TICAD in Japan. Where are more than many African countries partake in Tokyo International Cooperation Summit, and you'll be able to realize that that was not only an ordinary discussion, but one of the successes that the high iron green technologies in Toyota of all kind, Toyota Chuso Corporation, has signed an agreement for Namibia to supply iron to it. And that is a success when you look at that. So let's look at the caller before we continue.
Good morning.
Yeah, David, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Why did you take so long to answer?
Come again?
Because you were summarizing.
No. It's how I run my program.
No, you are fine. You are fine. So please,
because you cannot come and dictate how I should do things.
My worship, I apologize.
Okay.
Every time you have to make some kind of a blunder, you have to apologize.
No.
The law allows you to do that.
Yes, Commissioner, what is your point?
But I'm not at the Admiral. I'm not the commissioner for inquiry, but maybe I'm at the Admiral committee. I don't know which one is actually.
No, they are all the same. They are just running parallel to each other.
Yeah, they must run parallel.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what we also need to do here.
But how can you do that if you don't have, do you want to invite chaos or what? Because you don't have that yet in Namibia. It only happens when you have a situation.
Which one that we do not have in Namibia?
You want one commissioner to have a press briefing so we can be like South Africa? What do you mean?
Yeah, we also have some commissioner of inquiry here.
Yeah.
And it's not only that. There are also a lot of reviews, a lot of discoveries in terms of corruptions and all these other things.
Yeah.
So it's not an issue, it's not a kind of a static kind of a situation. But I thank you very much, David, for coming. I listened to you when you were having a discussion with Matthias Angala.
Okay.
But I have very serious concern.
Yeah.
Issues you have mentioned about in your introduction, you have mentioned about the Madeleine Commission and all this security, but let me just say my points surrounding the issue of security and sovereignty and all these other democratic values.
Yeah.
So who actually destroyed our indigenous institution that we have in Africa that were actually promoting democratic principles? Because we had that one. We did not have, even before, pre-colonialism, let me use that word.
Indigenous institution. Give me one example.
We have got our institution, our university. In fact, the first universities in Africa, institution that I'm referring to.
The what?
Actually started in Africa. We had a university in I just forgot the name now because I don't have my book there. Somewhere in Ethiopia, in South Sudan, there before they even got divided.
But were they promoting democracy?
Of course. Democracy did not come from West or from Europe.
Started
here.
I don't agree with that. Maybe we can explain to me to understand.
So if you go into the Bible, for example, Moses.
Yeah.
How he started. You remember that Moses was having a problem of governance.
Explain to me.
I'm going to explain, don't worry, I'm just starting from the humble, preamble.
Yeah.
We have the problem of governance structure.
Okay.
And he was told by his father-in-law, Gertrude. This is Gertrude.
I don't know.
You go back to the old days. And then he said, now I'm not able to manage these people. So everybody is coming with these inquiries and all these other things, and I'm not able to do that. And he was advised by his father-in-law about democratic principle or structure, governance structure. So all this, and then he said, please do away with all these puppets.
Mm-hmm.
That's the language he used.
Okay.
Go away with all this puppet. You cannot serve all these people alone. You must then choose, elect able leaders. People who are well able.
Okay, let's come to our institution.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you from the institution, how they originated.
Okay.
They originated from that time when then they put the structure, the section commanders, the platoons, and all these other things. And until come to the top level of leadership or level of management or whatever you want to say it.
So, in terms of the current security issues now, what is your opinion that
the current security? I'm saying now that it's because we have got the challenge of current security, just like you mentioned in South Africa, is because of the puppets that were planted to destabilize.
The what?
The puppets.
Which puppet? Puppet from where?
You don't know the puppets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do your research properly, my friend. I don't need to have to waste time.
No. Because even
the puppets are the one who are planted to
even the word using is not appropriate.
Ah, the vocabulary. Go to the dictionary there.
Yeah.
Something that is an insult or derogatory.
No, look, there is also a level of formality because we can read all the words from the dictionary.
Forget about the formality. Our values or all those things were not written informal. They were informal. They were not formalized. There are a lot of things that were not formalized. How are we going to formalize our indigenous language, our informal issues, if you are talking about formalized?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying when you want to solve a problem, you bring that everybody can understand you. Because if
no problem, whether you understand or not, go to your indigenous level, then you understand better.
But we are talking about security issues here and the impact on the economy. But if you are if you can call everybody the way that you are calling them.
I'm not going to call everybody puppet. I'm just using a puppet in this context. Not everybody has a puppet.
Okay,
the puppet is not an insult, remember?
Hmm?
The word puppet is not an insult. An insult. It's just an informant.
No, look.
You know, midget handler. The one that Brown Mukosi was talking about.
But you cannot use that word to anyone. It's the same way.
I'm just listening to my discussion.
Yeah, it's the same way when you are say for example coward. It's an English
coward. When you say coward, is that an insult?
It's an English word, but the way you use it can also be problematic. That's why I'm saying let us look at the content of the matter, then we can move forward. Yeah.
Which content are you talking about? Please don't restrict me or don't... So I'm saying puppet. The word puppet, check it up there in your dictionary and whether it's an instructive word or whatever. I'm saying that it's an informant. Somebody who can is your immediate handler, who can give you information about the situation. Which one is not a formal word there?
Okay, mention your point, then maybe I did not get you well from the beginning. Can you mention
it? You did not get me from the beginning. That's why you were thinking of puppets and insert and whatever.
No, I still maintain that it's not the right way to use, especially...
It is the right word.
Especially coming from you, I expect you to at least do better than just mentioning that.
The puppet, a word puppet. It's not a problem. And this is the word that we have been using. Many professors, security experts, they are using it. If you listen to the Madlang Commission and you listen to the Ad Hoc
Okay. Can you make sure?
I just ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who had actually destroyed our institutions pre-colonialism? And we had our own institution here who were promoting democracy and all those values, democratic values that you are talking about, they have been here.
Okay, which is...
All the legal principles, they have been here.
Which institution in Namibia was promoting democracy pre-colonial?
Pre-colonial, you think we as Namibians...
No, which one?
Because they were destroyed.
Which institution which was destroyed?
Let me give you an example here. Just because I've got indigenous knowledge of Namibia.
Just hold on.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic, don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Hello?
Okay, you have 5 minutes.
5 minutes, you only give 30 minutes to your friend.
No, it's the way I run my
program.
I run
no problem, but I will run your program when it comes to me, it fits you, but you have somebody who talks about 40 minutes.
Okay. Let's speak about...
Is that fair enough?
Let's speak about pre-colonial institutions.
Don't go to the thing, 3 minutes or whatever. I just spoke about 5 minutes.
Because I give you 5 more minutes because you were supposed to mention your point, but you started arguing.
You are interrupting me.
Oh, okay, mention those institutions then.
Position is Orupale is one of the institutions.
What is that?
Orupale, you don't know Orupale.
Okay, it was an institution of democracy.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not a democracy?
I don't think so.
Yes, because we go to on the Orupale, we allow all the people to come in with their views. I even gave you an example of Moses, how he started. You think Moses is a European thing?
No. I wanted us to speak about Namibia and Africa.
Namibia, yes, this is our things that were stolen. Namibia has also those institutions. Okay. University, they were first built here, they were first constructed here before Europe even. In Africa. You don't know that?
No, I hear you because I wanted to know because we...
Yeah,
we...
you hear me, but you do not understand. Nevertheless, let's go ahead. The people, our institution were actually destroyed by the people who stole our assets, and then they took them to America. They destroyed all our learning institutions. All our learning methodology, everything, and they took it there. They even came to fake it and say, whether it's from the medical head, the head, or whatever. All our institutions were destroyed by the colonializers who were working with the puppets, and now they are coming and say, there's no democracy in Namibia. There's no democracy in Africa. What happened to this institution, pre-colonialism.
Okay, thank you.
So the security cluster, that's where I'm going to end my point. I'll conclude with that one.
Yeah.
The security cluster.
Yeah.
Infiltrated into that our criminal justice system. Who are those ones? I hope you know very well. And who recruited them? Where are they coming from? Who is paying them? Are they working in the interest of the sovereignty of the African state? Are they working in there? Who actually planted them there? What is their purpose? You have been following about this thing, this inquiry, and all this thing.
Thank you. Let's continue. You can
see, let us not be discriminatory, or let's give chance, equal chance to others. People, even the U.S. is even rejecting about inclusion and diversity.
Come again?
Are those not puppets?
But Tatimbwana, please. Next time, let us also come with. No, let us also come with one line of argument, and we also respect who is... Because that is the only way that we can understand each other, because you give rich content and you give us insight that we also do not know, and we respect that. But if you come like you come today, I don't think it's going to work out
today.
With...
Please tell me where I went wrong so that I will expire that. I don't want you to go with your own discussion.
Yeah, because we spend more time on arguing rather than focusing on the conversation.
No, because we spend more time, but you spend 30 minutes with your colleague. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. And, you know, in democracy, it says every view and opportunity, they matter. And... everyone is entitled to their own opinions. But thank you for the contribution. And it's always very important to
not necessarily to agree on everything, but also to see how do we get along. But we are continuing with the conversation on economic diplomacy to say, apart from, when you look at, for example, TICAD, one of the successes, Toyota signing an agreement, with one of Namibian companies on supplying of iron. And also the other success of 2025 economic diplomacy. Namibian were very happy to see the richest men in Africa coming to Namibia. And after that, there's a pronunciation of establishing an oil storage facility. And after the establishment of oil storage facility, you can also be able to see billions of deals that was signed between Zimbabwe and Aliko Dangote group of company, especially to build a pipeline, oil pipeline from Walvis Bay. And those are some of the development, although it's going to Zimbabwe. Economists and analysts indicated that the infrastructure development could benefit Namibia and also can also assist us in terms of trade. Yeah. Now, maybe what are some of the challenges of Namibia economic diplomacy? You know, although Namibia is well positioned strategically, looking at Namibia port being a trade hub and also giving a service to landlocked countries such as Botswana, Zimbabwe, and Zambia, you can be able to realize that Namibia is still continue to be the main trading partner with South Africa. But looking at South Africa, Africa has managed to diversify its economy. However, Namibia still depend much on the trade with South Africa and also China. That's why our economic diplomacy did not change in terms of, you know, commodities and also expanding on our commodities. But we still sell what we usually sell. We buy more. And when you look at our international trade balance, you can be able to realize that for the past 11 months, or 10 months, you'll be able to realize that nothing much has changed, particularly on what we sell. The other thing is security. And the other thing is security. No one can trade in most insecure, the country which does not have enough security, or the country that is in chaos. Because you look at DRC, you look at Mozambique, you look at Nigeria, you look at many other countries in Africa, then you'll be able to also look at the stability of SADC too. You can realize to say, one of the implications of effective trade that can inhibit the success of our trade diplomacy is security. Because sending the first shipment to Nigeria and looking at Nigeria where it is now, you can be able to realize that it's not always in our best interest, especially trading when the security is not on point. Let us look at the caller and move forward. Good morning.
Hey, Sambe.
Yeah.
And maybe just to conclude the bit.
Yeah.
So just to say, yes, I like South African democracy.
Okay.
And they are going in the right direction, especially on the Commission of Inquiry.
Okay.
Only if we have the country, we can also restrict that. Because if you know, how many of the commission inquiry were conducted in this country? What happened to those reports? Nobody knows. Ne?
Yeah.
In parliament, you have something like apparently standing committee on the public accountability and what?
That one was supposed to be effective.
Yeah. Who was arrested out of that? Now, look, we have now catch who cannot catch mouse. Ne? You have ombudsman. You have the internal auditor general,
yeah,
who always do internal audit. They always reporting.
But is he empowered by the law?
Because the law, the way it was drafted,
mm-hmm.
they only apparently make a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Then the recommendation, they take it to Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Parliament, now there is that standing committee on public accountability and what. What happened? Zero.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
always report to say this million cannot be accounted for. As if there were no people who were responsible for those media.
Who was handling it? Who was handling it?
You see, and that is the way even the South Africa are getting edge. They are effective from that angle.
Mm.
But you can see now, starting fearing to say, look, the state is doing its work now.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you know what the South African Commission of Inquiry, that is the state now.
Yeah.
From government, that is state. You see, when you started to have kind of independence, people do their work freely without. That's why you see that the committee consisting of all the political parties, member of parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is to say now, you just need competent people there who understand what type of question, because you first need to understand how the system works for you to start probe it properly.
Yeah.
Because if you don't understand how the system works, how are you going to probe? You must always look at how Malema is pushing.
And this guy, and even the Madlanga itself, these guys are experienced. The way they ask you a question, you can run away, but you can still come and say yes. I don't know how they do it.
But if I get Matlanga or something, that is a genius guy.
No, I think with him, he has more street education than anybody.
For him, the way I see it, it's just a tour, you know, a business person who bribe.
No, he has money.
Yeah, he bribed,
and he has been around. That's why you can't have influence over that. Even he's more powerful, and even there was a point Malema asked to say, "How come you have over 9 former special force and one reserve force as your part of your body? That is a paramilitary, it's no more protection." and he's saying apparently he's paying them how much? $1 million?
He spent $2 million or $1 million. That's on personal. That's what they are saying. Look, you need the state to set up. You don't need the individual who are powerful than the state. Because the state will no longer
serve its purpose,
The state will no longer serve its purpose when you have those type of people in the society that are more powerful than the state.
I hear you.
Because the state is a referee there.
The state must
make sure that there is a balance of power. There's no one who must in the society have more power than the state. That's why what is killing us here is the difference between the state and the government. Because we treat the state as a government. Now the government, the state has been suffocated by the government official. Because then they said, because you cannot really, the accountability part between the state and government is not there. But we are saying, who is going to correct the government when the government is going astray from the state?
Yeah, but I think your institutions are building with time, and when you look at, for example, we are going to get a new PG after next year. There's an extension.
On my last comment on the issue of the sovereign. You know, when we talk of the sovereign, number one, we talk about ownership and the power to protect ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you are saying sovereign, you are saying ownership. Now, when you ask Namibian sovereign, where is it? When you go in the mining industry, where is Namibian sovereignty there?
Who own what when?
Who own what? That's why you go in those mines and you say, look, how many percentage the government shares there? I know 5%.
Three.
Do you think that's,
Hold on.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
Yes, let's conclude.
To say that we must not just throw the word sovereignty without consent. You know, sovereignty is always ownership from other people in the context, just ownership. So that's why I said now, what is the Namibia threshold, sovereign threshold in the mining industry?
I think it has to be
defined, because there is no way when you don't have a threshold, everybody negotiate what they want to negotiate on behalf of the state. Even one can even negotiate a 0%. That's where we are saying now. We don't know we are performing it at what level when it comes to the state, to the sovereignty of the state. Because we are able to say, look, the state was supposed to get this how much, but you negotiate this one. Now you are compromising it like that.
It's a good observation, and I think we when you look at things, although they scales, you see that African leaders are also seeing the future, but it's very slowly, because if you look at the previous the last meeting of Bank of Central Bank governors, and this pronunciation has been there. Even at G20, they are speaking about, no, we have to relook at those agreements.
That's also sometimes it's unfortunate that we have to come to aid to speak these things.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, because there's no way. But in honesty, that's why you only see Chinese say, they are unveiling what? They are unveiling what? But when they were developing it, did they tell you that they were busy developing what? They did not tell you. They only tell you when the product is ready. Then we take it from there. Now, you think the country is it is peace. You think there are no people who can think to say, look, we need a threshold of standard, a target to say, look, our target in mining is that this is what we need to do. Anybody who's going to negotiate, you must not negotiate below this level. That's why we have people who are complaining. Say, we don't own anything, because in sovereignty in the economy can only define through shares.
I hear you. So let's end here. Then we can engage we can expand the conversation.
Okay, it's okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much, and we always value contribution. We value view. We value view, especially when it's coming to sovereignty. It is something which people do not speak about, and also ownership. And also, just to ask a question to say, is it really fair after 35 years? Just ask a general question to say, can I not even own 10% in my own thing which I own? Why should the government own 3%? Honestly, we are born after independence. Okay, maybe negotiation were done in the rush. Can you guys not even push to 15? Even to 20. What have we done all those years? Because 5% really is not okay. And these are the discussions that we must end. And I also hope the new Minister of Mines and Energy and Industry will be able to push for that, and also to reform the sector, because the energy sector is very big. Energy sector is very big and full of wealth of the state, and also require careful consideration in many things, require clear legal framework when it's coming to management of those resources. And the caller is very right when he spoke about sovereignty, when he spoke about ownership. You can't speak about sovereignty without ownership, and also what need to be done, because every generation, things must change with time. Things must be able to change with time. That is how you deal with resources. Good morning.
Just one minute.
Maybe I don't say small meaning.
Okay.
So when you look at chapter 1, article 1 of our Namibian constitution,
okay,
it tells you about the sovereignty, establishment of the sovereignty,
yeah,
particular democratic and unitary state, founded upon the principle of democracy, the rule of law. Remember, the CRC in South Africa is not the same as the National Reconciliation in Namibia.
The what? The what?
The RCC.
What is that?
The Truth and Reconciliation Commission or whatever. Truth. Whatever you... Whatever is used.
Oh, okay, 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 yeah.
And when you look, it's not that similar to Namibian National Reconciliation that was adopted here.
We did not have a commission. We just had the policy, ne?
Whether it's a policy, the spirit that is living in the Namibian people.
No, I hear you, but they are not the same. I'm saying we did not have a commission, a Truth and Reconciliation commission.
Well, that's why I told you that the TRC in South Africa, it is different from our National Reconciliation.
Now
we might have some elements that are similar, similar, but it's not the same. Even the way it was conducted, it's not the same way like in Namibia. Have you even mentioned that in Namibia, in terms of those international principles, we even in terms of investors, attraction, or whatever, where are we standing now? Are we not standing at the number one, like you said this morning? In Africa, we are at number one.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
In the world, we are number two.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you? What are the attributes that makes Namibia to be at that level?
That is in terms of foreign direct investment in Greece.
It doesn't matter. When you have foreign direct investment or domestic, it's because of the peace and stability. And those are the democratic principles, the core democratic principles that we need to embrace. So what I'm saying is that the sovereignty of Namibia and everything, or all this African state or whatever, it is because of the effort of promoting, enacting principles that promote those sovereignty. I understand about, like, I remember I mentioned about the destruction and the ruin from other people, like including the puppet, including all those ones. And you are saying that this word is not a good word.
But you said you were going to speak for 1 minute because we are about to conclude, ne? Let us.
Yeah, we are to conclude, but you still gave somebody about 7 minutes. I'm only taking now 2 minutes.
But why do we have to do that?
It's because it's not fair enough. And it's not fair enough to other people or other parties. So you just give them the, I don't know whether it's equal rights.
But there is one thing which is always stated by those judges. To say before I give a judgment, I have to judge myself first. What is that I'm doing wrong? You want to say today you did not do anything wrong, right?
No, I'm not saying that. So if you are not saying that you have observed that there is some kind of unfair distribution of time or unfair distribution of equal time, whatever the resources that you want to allocate, all I'm saying is that I do not take time that you can really... Maybe it's because of the time is ending now, it's fine. All I'm saying is that... we should now view and discuss those peculiarities in their own context.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that we as Namibians promoting democratic principles, that does not mean that we are compromising the sovereignty of our country.
Not at all. There are people who are really trying to distract when it comes to the security and peace and all these other things, which are branded deliberately to make sure that we don't realize our democratic values here. That's what I'm saying. But in terms of equal distribution of resources, including the time, that should be our concern.
All right. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We have around, not four, I think we are going until 5 minutes past 8 there. Yeah, that is it's very important. It's very important, and it's conversation like this that can always be able to build us, because we don't necessarily need to agree, because if we are agreeing on the same thing every day, then we are doing something wrong, because there are points where we are not agreeing on points, but you have a right to communicate, because this is your platform. You have a right to communicate, give your opinions and views, as long as we are maintaining that that standard of mutual respect, then we can be able to move forward, particularly in terms of conversation on development, because at the end of the day, the real winner must be Namibia and also the people who are there. It's not me and it's not you. The real winner must be those who can get information and opportunity to get the resources, and also send their kids to better school, get married to their beautiful wives without any struggle of loans due to the economy, and also being able to be recognized, because the main conversation is to say, what is that which is being done going to benefit an ordinary person on the ground? Because it's one thing to have all the investment in the world pointed toward your country. It's one thing for those investments to be productive. Because one person indicated to say, like in South Africa, there is a lot of liquid cash that the private sector have kept, but not investing in the people. And people were so concerned to say, having been number one in Africa in terms of attracting foreign direct investment in the area of green energy and also oil and gas, does not necessarily mean that all that money is going to benefit your people. It's the same thing that you are in the house and there are a certain group of people, especially this December, who are baking out there. They are flying chicken, but you can just smell it, but you are not going to eat it. It doesn't mean that if it's within, if the country is rich, everybody is rich. But what is needed is fairness in terms of a resource distribution, and also give opportunity in terms of opportunities, giving opportunities to others, so that they can be able to manage the resources also themselves. And yeah. Just before we give the mic to Mike, because Mike will join us at 5 minutes past 8 today. Let us look at the Villager newspaper. Let us look at the Villager newspaper to say, in terms of the Villager newspaper, what do we have? What do we have the Villager newspaper today? What do you have at the Villager newspaper today? Especially, on top of the Villager newspaper, there's an article on take advantage of rain and plow. That is, the message from Farmers Union to say it's raining, take advantage of the rain. And, was chatting to Mike also, indicating that it's raining cats and dogs there, that side of the north. And get the opportunity and read that article, especially from my colleague Anakrita there. And yeah, you look at page 3, we have Vichia School of Agriculture and Nature Conservation giving courses in National Vocational Certificate in Horticulture. and crop husbandry, national vocational certificate in farm machinery and infrastructure, national vocational certificate in livestock husbandry, that is level 2, and application is until the 31st of January 2026, and you can only pay application fee of only 200 Namibian dollars. Now, looking at page 4, it's an article by Dwight Links that is on Africa Entertainment and Media Market Show Growth. There is growth in Africa Entertainment and Media Market. And get into details, get that conversation of getting that conversation, particularly when it's coming to entertainment and also market media market growth. Yeah, looking at that side of oil, stated that Recon Africa drills wells and announced hydrocarbon discovery. Some of the positive news coming out there. The positive news coming out there. And for you to get that content of the content of the article, read the article by Mattia Sangara in the Villager newspaper. That is page page 5. And that is wealthy of Namibia. Speaking about the wealth of Namibia, there is nothing that we do not have, but there is much that we need to give to our people. But in terms of resources, there is nothing that we do not have. Now, looking at page 6, looking at page 6 of the Villager newspaper, you'll be able to realize that Kavango gave birth to 3 independent councillors in 2025 elections. Because I was listening to one political analyst to say some of the winners of regional and local authority elections are the independent candidates, and also to see what are some of the causes of people to stand as independent candidate, and also you can also be able to see some of the trends of retaining of independent candidates, to say it's a new politics of Namibia, and how is service delivery going to be, especially in regional and local authority, you know, in local authority elections. And looking at page 7, you can be able to see that social media creators and influencers are changing the new landscape, the news landscape. They are changing the news landscape. And that is it's an article by Dwight Links. Get an opportunity and read that article. Now, there is an opinionated article. It's an opinionated article by Alan Yuma. Alan Yuma, who look at holiday season fuels Africa's mobile money fraud. For you to be careful not losing your money, not losing your cash, especially mobile money fraud, make sure you read the Villager newspaper. Make sure you read the Villager newspaper, especially page 8. And yeah, page 9, you have the sale, festive savings. It's a big sale from Vrooman Block. You can be able to buy your products there. Kadila chicken mixed portion of $184. And you can also be able to get your Polana elbow. That is your 3 kg, which is just 69 Namibian dollars. And 2 liter coke for just $20. Get the time and read other commodities that are being, you know, other commodities that are being sold by Vrooman Block. Yeah, while we are there, get time, and read the Villager newspaper. Be up to date with news with Eagle FM, because we'll be able to update you. Like and share our page, and you will not be far from economic conversation. And we are giving the mic to the big mic to unpack the day. And thank you for listening, and also thank you for your contribution. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.